Eastern Zimbabwe was also hammered by Cyclone Idai's heavy rains and violent winds, so much so that one district there called Chimanimani is now completely cut off from the outside world.
Both cell tower repeaters ran out of fuel for their generators, so there actually has been little to no contact with those communities, so we haven't heard anything from those stranded in Chimanimani.
That's Paolo Chernuski. He heads the International Rescue Committee's office in Harare, Zimbabwe.
The cyclone brought record rains in 48 hours. Two of the districts that have been most affected are, for the most part, still inaccessible, and many of the communities that are in those two districts have not been reached yet by assistance or aid because roads are destroyed, bridges are destroyed.
So we're seeing photographs of the tops of what seem to be tall trees just peeking out of the water, trucks on the road submerged in mud, people covered in mud. How do you begin to get a grip on the human cost of this tragedy?
All our focus right now is to try and get immediate life-saving assistance and support into those districts for the most affected communities. We're talking about food, water, blankets, water purification tablets, before we even try to quantify what the long-term reconstruction efforts will need to look like.
How are you getting supplies through? Like, what is your plan right now?
As of earlier today, a certain number of helicopters by the Zimbabwe National Army were deployed, and they were able to fly today for the first time, so they have managed to airlift certain supplies to some communities.
I mean, Zimbabwe is kind of getting through some growing pains with the transition out of the years of the Mugabe regime. Is their government positioned to work on this with some energy right now?
There's certainly a sense of urgency by the humanitarian community and local government as well. So resources are being put behind it, physical assets like the choppers, but also actual men on the ground and financial resources by the Zim government. So I think that definitely there is an effort to be as responsive and as coordinated as possible in this humanitarian response.
Paolo, how are aid groups like yours, the IRC, dealing with the increasing intensity of storms all over the world? Are you building that into your calculus for response?
So us and the humanitarian community as a whole, we definitely have been trying to work on what we call resilience programming. So to really look not just at the humanitarian response, but what can be done beforehand to help communities be better prepared when disasters hit. But more importantly, when we talk about the now constant climate change and what that brings, increasing drought, extended dry spells, lower rainfall patterns, livelihoods and the way communities deal with them has to change to reflect that. And IRC in Zimbabwe is an implementer of the Zimbabwe Resilience Building Fund, is one of the organizations that's leading on that to try and work with communities to diversify livelihoods and adopt a number of strategies to make them more resilient to what is basically almost a constant now of climate-induced shocks and stresses.
I'm struck by how hard it is, as you said, to get accurate reports from the hard-hit areas from Cyclone Idai. I mean, there was a headline that dropped last Thursday about this cyclone, and then it seems like no news for several days. Why did it take so long for even the basic details? Is it just a story about infrastructure?
Certainly, the original forecasts, the earlier forecasts of the rainfall levels and the damage that would bring in Zimbabwe were much, much lower. So I do wonder whether it only registered with the global consciousness, if you wish, once it became clear what the scope of the damage really was, which at the beginning it really wasn't.
Presumably the IRC in Zimbabwe has a number of Zimbabwean employees. How are they coping with all this? Because they must come from some of these areas that have been hard hit.
It certainly isn't easy. We unfortunately had one of our staff members who lost immediate family in some of the floods. So everyone right now is very much in emergency response mode. The top priority is getting assistance to those that need it the most. But, certainly the stress of dealing with what has happened and the damage, and also the impact that this will have long term on Zimbabwe, is a lingering thought at the back of everyone's mind and probably suppressed by the effort that everyone's putting in the emergency response right now. It's not easy.
Well, we wish you all the best of luck in reaching the people most impacted by this flood. Paolo Chernuski, the country director for the International Rescue Committee in Zimbabwe, speaking with us from Harare. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.